tonight, I'd like to bring a message that I think will be helpful. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs, I think, tonight and also Saturday night. We call this the wisdom literature. And it's because the man who wrote it asked for wisdom, God gave it to him. You don't buy wisdom. You don't go up to college and get it. You're not born with it. You got to be born again to get it. Wisdom is a gift. And the way to get it is to ask for it. Then a man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I call your attention to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. Irreverence grins in the face of a holy God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of nothing. You know the thing that prompted Noah to build an ark? He got scared. He had a conference with God. I suppose he's about the only one to be willing to listen to God. He said, Noah, let's have a conference. He said, I've got an announcement. He said, the end is here. He said, I'm going to destroy all flesh. And Noah, I imagine, said, does that include me and my family? He said, no, I want you to make an ark. I want you to build an ark. And I want you to pitch it within and without with pitch. The Bible said Noah, being warned of God, moved with what? Fear. Prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Hebrews chapter 11. Do you believe that people ought to have any fear of God today? Of course they ought. I believe the proper mixture of faith and fear are not in conflict. Yet the world says we're not to let children be afraid of anything. I was afraid of my dad. Well, there wasn't a heap of foolishness between me and my dad. But I respected him. I loved him till the day he died. But I'll guarantee you, I've never one time in my life sassed my daddy. Not one time. Not because I didn't want to. Well, I said I didn't sass him. I did, but brother, I was so far away he didn't know it. I never did object to anything my daddy said, at least in his presence. Some of the people, you know what they said about Mr. H.A. Roloff? They said, they didn't call it child abuse. They said he works his boys too hard. He makes them get out there before daylight. He gets them up always in the dark. And he works those boys too hard. Let me give you an announcement. My dad is the only man on our road that paid for his farm and kept it till he died. Every other one of them either sharecropped, rented, or lost their farm. Every one of them. I can name you everyone from the first one at the end of the road to the last. Every one of them lost their farms. Most of them too lazy to try to buy one. I can remember our neighbors coming down the road with an old sled and maybe one mule hooked up to it. You know where they were going? To our water tank to borrow water in the summertime. He said, where'd you get your tank, brother? We dug it with a scraper, little old bitty scraper. Man, I can remember. Finally, we got a Fresno. And I tell you, I've been thrown over that whole thing and land on the mules. He said, you sure was a smart boy. No, my daddy was a smart daddy. A lot of my smartness came from him. I mean, my hyperactive condition was brought on by my daddy. I've been hyperactive ever since. That's right. No problem to get up in the morning. My problem is going to bed at night. Well, listen, I know the Lord wouldn't let it, but I thought, Lord, if you'll send my redeemed body down here and stick me in it, I'll do more for you. He said, no, you'd be a smart aleck. I'll limit you. I'll make you get so tired you've got to lay down. That's a type of death and the resurrection. You need a resurrection every morning. All right. Well, he said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Have you ever thought about what that is? The instruction of your father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, two things I give you. Number one, I was born of the Word of God. That happened to be my mother. The Bible said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so, the Word of God is my mother. Therefore, that's my law. Now, the other thought is sweet and precious. The law of the right kind of a mother is what? Love. Nobody could love a child like a mother. I mean, she's better acquainted. She's acquainted for 9 months with a child before the husband knows anything about it. But she's thinking, planning, sowing, getting ready, expecting, looking forward to the time when that little bundle of life will come. And she just kind of gets ahead of the husband and the daddy in loving that child. And that's the way it ought to be. And we're going to come to that again in just a moment. Now then, I want to give you some of the outstanding passages of the Word of God. Chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Nobody, everybody is interested in the interest. Isn't that right? How much interest? Well, why don't we get interested in the principle? What's the principle, wisdom? If you want to really draw some interest throughout eternity, you better get you some principles down here. And wisdom is our principle. Chapter 4, verse 23, please. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now then, turn with me, please, to chapter 13 and verse 13. Let me give another word of introduction. This has been the generation of child care, children's books, how to raise children, how to take care of children. This has been the generation of Dr. Spock, which introduced a lot of Bach. And it didn't work, and wrecked the generation. And this has been the generation when we've forsaken the old-fashioned textbook. This has been the generation when they introduced sex education and the pill and immorality. And, you know, I noticed something today. This is alarming. This means we're nearly gone. Did you know that while life has been extended, there has been a 15 to 20% drop in young people between 10 and 20. Brother, that's a sign of real decay. You know why? They said dope is killing our young people. Young people, you think about that. You think of the Beatle-inspired, dope-inspired, rock and roll-inspired ODs. Our young people are killing themselves like flies every day. That's the reason I'll never have any mercy on rock and roll. It ruins your mind. You'll get to where you couldn't even think. It'll change your personality. There's not a mother and daddy anywhere but what noticed a change in their child when they got hooked on rock and roll. It'll ruin their mind. They'll begin to hate their parents, disrespect their parents. They'll get on dope. They'll become immoral. And all of that goes together, and it winds you up where? Suicide. OD. You know why? They don't want to live. You know why I never have killed myself? I want to live too bad. If you ever see me over there trying to shoot myself, you know that I got tired of living. Brother, that'll never be. I like to live. I'd rather live than die anytime. I hear people say, oh, wasn't that a beautiful corpse? Beautiful corpse, man. I'd rather be a handsome living somebody. I don't care, bald-headed or hair. Whatever, I want to live. Don't you want to live? Jesus said, I came that you might have life, you might have it more abundantly. I'm not sorry for less than that. Let me read you some great verses. Chapter 13. I'm going to talk about child care, Bible child care, and child abuse. Here it is. And this is where it starts, right here. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. All right. Does that have anything to do with the teenage suicides? Whoso despiseth the word shall be what? Destroyed. Did you know that no child is born into this world with a desire for the Word of God? Did you know a little child doesn't say, Mother, bring me the Bible? The little child doesn't pitch his voice in a whang-doodle tone and said, I'm hungry for God. I'd like to know more about Jesus. Oh, no. You know why? They're normal and natural. And they do not respect Jesus. They were born with a natural or carnal mind which is against God, not said the law of God, neither indeed can be. And unless mothers and dads teach their children the Word of God and get them in it, then you're destroying your children. That's child abuse. That's where it all starts. Oh, the lady from the Washington Post had called yesterday. She said, Brother Wolf, I called you 2 months before. I'm in a go, and my little girl's gotten worse and worse, and I'm in the bed, and I've got a tumor. And said, you've got to take our little girl. Oh, listen, you talk about pleading. Another call came right after that collect, said, tell him, I don't have enough money, but he's got to take my daughter. And I said, operator, you don't need me accepting the call because we couldn't take a little girl. We don't have any room. And so I had to hang up. Girls, let me tell you something. Y'all are sure fortunate to have a place over there. I'm glad you said amen. You didn't say it till when you first came down, did you? Boy, you were a bobcat. Isn't that precious? I like that. Amen, she said. Why, you think of the people that had to hold her down. Think of all of, you know why? All she needed was the mind of Christ. All she needed was somebody to love her like Jesus tells us. I tell you, folks, it's the greatest opportunity in all the world, and I'm longing for the day when we'll have 10,000 people right here on this farm. 10,000 of them. Build a great big old tabernacle, get out there and preach and have great services, have an altar about a half a mile long. You say imagination's running away. Let her run! Child abuse. All right, verse 22, chapter 13. Now don't forget 13:13. 22, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner laid up to the just. Now then, you've heard me say, and I say again, I want to be a good man. I believe all of my men do. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his grandchildren. What is that? Spiritual. Don't ever think you're leaving money to your grandchildren because your children that get it, they'll spend it all before the grandchildren get here. I mean, that's not talking about money. The only way you can leave a real inheritance to your grandchildren is to leave a spiritual and make it and invest it in your children. If you bring the godly children with great conviction, brother, you've left an inheritance for your grandchildren. All right? Now we're ready to start. Verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. that he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now then, that says to me that the state like Texas that will not permit corporal punishment or place a child in any home for this, that means they hate the child. They say we don't love them because we spank them or take a bath to them. But the Bible said we love them and the state hates them. You say, well, what can the state do to control them? Put them in a chemical straitjacket. They shoot the needle right here, right here. They shoot the needle in the arm, the leg, and in a little while they say, well, we have them sedated. Yeah. And they're resting well and they're calm under sedation. You mean they're nearly dead, don't you, smart aleck? Now, you talk about child abuse, that's child abuse. Can you imagine making a legal dope head out of a little helpless girl or boy? They're guilty before God of child abuse. And so, notice, I'll read it again for you. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. I always have to go over this so you'll understand. There are two rods. We could call my belt or my hand a rod. That's used very little. The main rod is the King James Version. If we spare that rod, we hate our children. Mothers and dads, you better listen to me. Get mad, swell up if you want to. When you do not give your children the rod of God, the Word of God, you hate them. You do not love them like you ought to. You have kept from them the best thing there is in life. You kept from them the only book that can build character, make them pure and keep them pure, give them the love of God and salvation, and take them to heaven. And if you don't do it, you must hate it. The Bible's speaking. Brother, I'm just reading it. All right. Will you go with me, please, to chapter 19? Chapter 19. And it'll be verse 18. 1918. I always remember this because that's the year that World War Number 1 was over, November 11th. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crime. You say, what'd that say? It said, if you're chasing him while there's hope, you can do something with him. Most people wait too long. You say, when did you start chastening a little child? When they first need it. And brother, you're sitting in a church tonight and living on a farm and connected with homes where there's never been one case of child abuse. Go down to the courthouse if you want to and find out how many times we've been found guilty. And brother, I'll guarantee they would have delighted to prove us. Listen, they'd have put Brother Cameron in jail with me. But they could never. And they've said time and time again, Brother Wolf, you're doing a great work. We have nothing against what you're doing. The only thing, you don't have a license. Well, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, that's child abuse. You know why? I couldn't chasten a child if I was going to have a typically licensed home. That means I'd have to hate the children. Brother Cameron, you and I'd have to get together and take some lessons on hate. Get out and Brother Cameron say, Lord, help Brother Wolof to hate. Oh, give him more hatred. Huh? That'll be the day, boys. I'm not bragging about love, brother. All the love I've got, Jesus had to give it to me because I didn't have any. Nobody had any love when he was born the first time. Not any. You might have had some natural affection, and that'll run awful thin when the battle gets rough. And so, he said, chasten thy child while there's hope, and don't quit just because he starts bellowing. It may be a sign you're getting somewhere. I tell you what, because, you know, in our homes, we don't take them in, and when they read it, like Brother Cameron, you remember the day that stabbing took place. I didn't go over there and whimper and whine and say, "This is going to hurt me worse. It's going to hurt y'all." Oh, no, it's going to hurt them worse than me. Well, let me tell you something. I remember old Anita. She ran off and she stole the car, and I got in the Queen Anne and flew all the way to Atlanta and landed a little old airport. And they brought that sorry rat out there to the plane. I got it, I had his bird and took a bird and put it on her. And she said, "Brother, roll off." She said, "The board is breaking." I said, "Yeah, I want you to break with it." He said, "Child abuse." No, she's playing the piano now in the church, working with the ladies in the church, and she got a little baby called her mother. Married one of the worst dope heads that ever came here, Mark Sherrill. I wanted to kill him more time than anybody ever been on this farm. Spent more $1,000 on him, and yet, there they are serving the Lord. Amen. When you've got something that works better, cut it off. But there's never been a time when Anita ever had any idea that we didn't love her. She said, "Brother, listen, can you imagine the money that I spent flying by myself with two big engines, 380 horse engines, feeding that thing gasoline and picking that one little old runaway up that stole the car of one of the secretaries in Jacksonville, and that nearly wrecked his spin around, hit off in the ditch?" And she said, I just knew the Lord was killing me. That we were sorry enough to get killed, we'd have had at least 100 funerals for each one of them. Man, we'd have had 100 graves over here across the street if we'd have been buried every time that we acted ugly. Well, notice verse 11, chapter 20. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. Now then, let's go to chapter 20. In a moment, we're coming to the main chapter, but I give you chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child. Train up a child in the way he should go. Now, the way, of course, is Jesus. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now then, I want you to go with me to chapter 27. Did you know they put a chapter in here in verse for Brother Horsford and for Brother Bob Galloway? I sure did. I read to you chapter 27, verse 23. "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. Look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation. The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field, and thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance for thy maidens." Now that's good, isn't it? God endorses goat milk, he endorses honey. And Jesus had boiled fish and honeycomb. Now chapter 29 will be a tremendous verse for us to study for a little while. Chapter 29, verse 15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child with a working mother will bring her to shame. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." How many times we've seen that? I'm so sorry that men, and I realize there's some exceptions, and there's some places where women can work, but it's sad, since World War Number Two, we've seen a complete collapse of the American home and family. And the state has reached a conclusion that since children have run out of Christian mothers, they're supposed to take over and become the parents. And they make bad parents, according to the statement of Mr. Griffin Bell's wife. He was the former Attorney General of the United States. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Brother, I never remember going home from school and finding my mother gone. Now, she might have been in the garden. She might have been out at the henhouse. She might have been as far away as the barn. Her brother, when I walked in that old ranch house with those 14-foot ceilings, the first word I said, if I didn't see her or hear her, Mama! I mean, that was just automatic. Mama! Yeah, what do you want, son? Well, ordinarily, I wanted the cookie jar. Mm-hmm. Of course, I could smell them. Oh, I tell you. Well, correct thy son, verse 17. Correct thy son, he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Now, verse 18, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, you know what that is? The word of God. Happy is he. Verse 11, chapter 30. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Now then, I want you to back up to the 23rd chapter. The 23rd chapter. This is the chapter that will throw me in jail overnight if I practice it. If the state can prove it, this is the chapter that had put me in the county jail. This is the chapter that will wind Brother and Mrs. Cameron up in jail, both of them. If they practice this chapter right here, it's a choice as to whether we're going to obey. Layton, Peter, stand up. Where's Layton? Stand up, son. Will you do that? Stand up. There he's been singing in the choir. How old are you now? 16. He was 14 when he came here. He's been here, what, 2 years now? 2 years. Thank you. Maybe see you. Now, you know what the man said at the Harry Hines courthouse for juveniles? This boy was to gotten a long, long, long sentence. You know what he said to me? And Layton, you were standing there, well-dressed, mother and daddy, Colonel Peters, Miss Peters, wonderful people. And fact is, Mr. Noah talked to me on the phone last night about you. And he said, I tell you, it was amazing because he lived close to y'all, you know, and knew. And so this boy stood in the court 30 days after he committed 3 crimes. The judge said, Brother Olaf, and I repeat this because our radio friends need to know why we will never take a license. Nobody can do what we're doing with a license because I'd have to be crooked in order to and disobedient to God to obey it. And if I didn't obey it, then I'd be crooked toward the promise I made to them. And so that's the reason we... Now, the judge said to me, Brother Olaf, he was so courteous, and he saw a fine young man, and the little Jew lawyer stood there and said, and I don't tire of saying this because it's refreshing. He said, you know, Judge, he said 30 days ago when this young man went to the lighthouse in Corpus, he was suicidal. He looked like he didn't want to live. And said 30 days later he comes back and he seems happy. He seems well adjusted. And he said, evidently, Judge, Your Honor, something has happened to him to make him want to live. And Layton said, yes, sir, Your Honor, I got saved. Now, boy, that's cutting across the field in a hurry, wasn't it? And so, of course, then the judge began to ask me questions. And the judge was on the hot seat. I mean, he faced a boy doing well and yet guilty of 3 crimes. And what am I going to do with him? Can I put him on the street again? Shall I send a 14-year-old to prison for many years? I can. But he said, Brother Olaf, and he was hoping to get a little help out of him. He said, do you believe and practice corporal punishment? And I said, yes, Your Honor. He said, why? You know, just like he's begging on. He said, why? I said,
Because this old book teaches it, and it gets results. And this is God's plan. And then he said in a little while, and you know, some of you have not heard the outcome, but he said, Brother Olaf, I'm not even allowed to send a boy or a girl to a home where they practice corporal punishment. There's a law. Can you imagine that? There is a law that tells me I'm not even allowed, as much as I'd like for Leighton Peters to go back down to the lighthouse. I'm not even lawfully, and I'm a judge. And if I go by the law, I'm going to have to say, he'll have to go to prison, but he can't go back down there with you. But I believe God, and gave a sweet answer. And the judge said, even though, Brother Olaf, I cannot sentence him or let him go back to the lighthouse, I'm going to commit him to his parents, Colonel and Mrs. Peters, with the understanding they take him back down there. Yeah. And there he is. Now, that made the difference, didn't it? I love the judge for that. I really did. I think he did the best thing he knew to do. I think his heart was soft toward a little boy, just a little 14-year-old boy. And I tell you, as much as I've been in court, I believe I can say, with all the love and compassion, just about every judge has respected me with tremendous respect. And I feel so unworthy. I wrote the judge a letter that after I got back, he got up before the Lions Club and read every line of it. Read every line of the letter. And the man told me, the program chairman called. He said, Brother Olaf, we're so glad that you came and spoke. Listen, this old world is hungry for something that'll help them out in trouble. Did you know that? Nearly about everybody has a friend or a loved one or a child that's in trouble. Now then, let's go on. In the 23rd and the 13th verse, and here's the unbelievable. Here's the impractical, the world says. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Now, did you know that the average preacher will not believe that? Did you know that the average principal in the school will not believe that? If thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. You know why? No Christian will beat a child till he maims him or cripples him or kills him. Love will always stop at the proper time. Love knows how far to go. And a child needs enough punishment to break his stubborn will and let him throw up the white flag and said, Daddy, you win. Daddy, I surrender. Oh, listen. Do you think I hate my daddy for using a razor strap on me? No. Do you think when my daddy came home one time and I was having such a good time? Man, I was having... Back in those days, we had to build our own baseball bat. We had to put strings and unravel old socks and make the ball. And we had to go down in the pasture and we had to go to the school and cut down the blood weeds and make a ball diamond. But brother, that is back when we was raising Babe Ruth and Ty Cobbs. Huh? That's right. I mean, these sissies don't know how to do nothing. And I was out there behind the barn one day and I had made me... a torch. It was something. Now, it'd have been better at night, but my daddy wasn't going at night. But I'd use it in the daytime. So I got me a piece of baling wire about that long. I got me a bunch of old rags, and I put on that and wound it up, and then I put it down in the kerosene oil, and I soaked. You talk about, listen, I soaked it up. Man, I thought, just in a minute. And so directly... I got that out after it was well saturated. I took a knife and a match and I threw it. Boy, then I got that little hook on that thing and round and round and round. I went and I was right behind the barn. Shucks were everywhere. I went around and around and boy, I turned it loose. I stood there and looked at that going into the air. Oh, was I having the time? Nobody within a, I guess, a long ways of me. That is over Dawson, I thought. Would you believe it? I heard the purr of a T-model. And so help me, that thing hung up in the air. Oh, it is way up there. I said, come on down. And you know, I heard that old T-model stop. Man, listen, you didn't have a door on the left, you know, just throw your leg over and jump out of it. Boy, my daddy, he come through that barn so fast. He came through that little hall he slowed down enough to pick up a piece of leather. Oh. Man, listen, he grabbed me by one hand. Now, you talk about fireworks, we had them. Oh, brother, if ever I've been whipped. I mean, he said, what do you mean? You can burn this barn down. Well, I hadn't thought about that. But do you think I hate him for it today? No. You think I pouted and you think that, oh, I know, I'm sure he bruised me. Hell, I mean, I just wasn't tough enough to take that without being bruised. I was a young man. But he whipped me. You think I fell out with him? You think I run to the authorities and said, I follow you? Huh? I'll get me a lawyer. I'll run away. That's what, no, no. Brother, I went on to the supper because I wanted to stand up while I ate, but I mean, listen, you little old sissy dads, you make your children mind you. They'll respect you and weep over you when you die. So that was a good daddy. That's right. Oh, listen, I got some old-fashioned men here. I really have. I got some fellas that they love their children. I tell you, I believe we have the greatest parents we've ever had right now. I mean, they love their children. They're going to demand obedience, and they're going to bring their children up right. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now, verse 14. Oh, judge, your honor, why don't you read this sometime? Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Never forget the day. And, you know, we had a Judas Iscariot came here a few years ago. That's the wickedest cuss we ever had around here. Came in as the Messiah and turned out to be the Antichrist. Oh, he and his wife did more poison, did more damage, and did everything they could, and sowed seeds of discord and everything else. You remember that day Lord McGee came in over here? They called me at the house and said, Brother Olaf, they've come for two little girls, one of them named Evelyn. And the other one said, child abuse. You whipped them. I said, yes, I did. They said, we're fixing to take them down to the children's court. And I said, and I'm going too. Oh, Lord McGee, I've known him for 37 years. He said, I don't blame you, Brother Olaf. Come on. I said, I'll be down there when you get there. And I was sitting up there in the courtroom. And Judge Thomas. Boy, I'm telling you, you talk about it. And to show you that, that's the closest to child abuse they've ever tried to prove on me. Those two little girls ran away. I brought them back, took them in the office, prayed with them and hugged their little old necks. And I said, but I'll tell you one thing. The next time you run, little girls, you're 13 years old about that, I'll guarantee you, I'll give you a whipping you never will forget. They looked at me and smiled and said, we're not going to run anymore. I said, okay, you'll feel a lot better. I put a threat on them. I said, don't you ever run. They ran. And 9 vultures got them. That's right. I said vultures. 9 dirty, stinking, diseased, sorry, low-down, trifling buzzards got them. Had them in a bar down here on Staple. Kept them for nearly a week. 9 men risked their life, walked in, nearly got shot. Said, give us those girls. Brought those two little old dirty, stinking rats out. I was leaving at the airport. Took them upstairs and gave them one more whipping. I said, what did I promise? He said, you promised to whip them. I said, I'm going to do it. And I whipped them and got in the plane. That report got out. Oh, yes. Because of that stinking fellow that came in here. Oh, you talk about a snake in the grass. I went down there. Boy, they put the little girl on the stand. Boy, I can hear them now. They threatened. They said, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? The little girl said, I do. Now then, said, will you tell us, did Brother Olaf whip you? And she said, yes, sir. That he promised he'd whip us, and he did. Boy, they threatened them. They said, listen, you're under oath and you better tell the truth. Tried to scare those two little old girls half to death. DHR sitting in there, welfare department sitting in there, trying to prove child abuse against the preacher. Throw him in jail. Exactly, they said, you can step down. Little old girl, you know the story, and I'll just bring it up today. Little old girl stepped down, the other one stepped up, and she said, and they whispered to each other. The one coming down whispered to her. Boy, listen, that gave that smart-headed lawyer all he wanted. Do you promise to tell the truth? Sit down there. And said, that girl said something to you when she came down. Are you going to tell me the truth about it? She said, yes, sir. Will you tell me? And you be sure and tell me what she said. What did she say? She said, I've got to go to the bathroom. Yeah. Well, I just about broke the judge. Everybody laughed except the social department. They couldn't even rig up a smile. Judge, after a while, he said, well, this case may be continued. And the welfare jumped up and said, it will be continued. The judge said, you little girls can go back with Brother Olaf. I said, no, Brother Olaf doesn't want to take them back unless they want to go back. Maybe I've been too mean to them. If I'm guilty of abuse and they don't love me, don't want to go back, I don't think I ought to have to take them back. They might want to go with the welfare. Boy, I was running my risk. The judge said, little girls, what do you... said, we want to go back with our daddy. That settled it. That's the nearest to child abuse I've ever had to face. Those two little old girls love me to this day. I still get some letters. Folks, you'll never improve on love. And without it, sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And my workers and all of us and visitors, we'll never be able to properly discipline our children until Jesus baptizes us in liquid love. Oh, may God fill us and distribute and donate that kind of love.